Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study on things to come. For the past several weeks, if you've been with us, we've been doing a study on things to come, which are the next prophetic event on events on God's calendar. And in particular, we started to look at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll continue to look at some points about the second coming today on the pastor's study, and probably even get into another area of things to come. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity that you've given us today to open up your very words, to study them, Lord, to have understanding through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Father, we just pray as your word goes forth today that it would bring honor and glory to thy name. Father, we pray for the saints of God through the teaching of your word this day to be edified, lifted up, encouraged to remain faithful of the things of thee, Lord. And we pray for the lost soul that may be listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We pray this is the very day that they realize they're a sinner on their way to hell, that Jesus Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. We pray this would be the very day that they trust in Jesus' shed blood, his precious shed blood, and nothing else to save them. And Father, we know with the angels in heaven, we'll rejoice for that one lost sinner that gets saved. And Father, we just commit the results into thy hand, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What we were looking at in particular under the second coming was the defeat at Armageddon. The defeat at Armageddon. And what I want us to see here is the results of that great battle. The Word of God tells us the blood from that battle will run bridle deep to a horse in an area of about 200 miles. And of course, a bridle deep is 3 feet deep. So the blood from that Battle of Armageddon is going to run 3 feet deep in an area of about 200 miles. Talk about bloodshed, amen. Bloodshed that this world has never seen, and we've had many wars in this world, amen. Let's turn to Revelation with me, if you would, in chapter number 14, to see the description here of what I just mentioned. In Revelation chapter 14, in verses 18 through 20, and another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. So we see this battle, this great battle of Armageddon, this great defeat, amen, of Satan's army, is likened unto a wine press. Amen. Where grapes are put in to crush. And that's what this is likened to, a great wine press, where the enemy of God will be pressed and trodden underfoot. And again, that blood from that battle is going to run 3 feet deep in an area of 200 miles. Amen. Now, another thing about the results of the battle is all these dead, rotting bodies will become a feast for the birds. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 19 for a moment and see what the words of God have to say here in verses 17 and 18. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. So we see the bodies of the dead bodies of Satan's army are going to be on the dinner menu, amen, and make a great feast for the birds. And it's called the Supper of the Great God. Now in verse 18, Revelation 19, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So we see kings, mighty men, the flesh of horses, the fleshes of bond, people that were servants or in slavery, both the small and great, are going to be on the dinner menu of that supper of the great God, where all the fowls of the air will gather to eat. Looking in verse 21 of Revelation 19 with me. In the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Certainly a very, very gruesome picture, amen. And then we see the beast and the false prophet are cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So we see the Antichrist and his religious counterpart, the false prophet here, are going to be cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Again, Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 20 with me. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And that will be the demise of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Now, one last point, major point, this is number 6. We've seen in the second coming, we've seen so far, number 1, the drum roll, number 2, the dazzling appearance, number 3, down to earth, number 4, delivering the Jews Number five, we just looked at, defeated Armageddon. In our final point, number six, the dividing of the nations or the judgment of the nations. Now, we have to turn to Matthew 25 for this, to see the dividing of the nations or the judgment of the nations. So Matthew 25. And Matthew 25, the passage we're going to read together, is verses 31 to 46. And we begin in verse 31, Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So we see in here the context is the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. So we want to see here, Christ is on the earth, he's sitting upon a throne, and he's gathered all the nations before him. And some are called sheep nations and goats nations, and we see here the sheep are on his right hand, they're divided, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king, capital K, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Inherit the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven now is going to be on this earth, which is a thousand-year reign of Christ, the millennium, we'll see in our future lesson, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. See, so notice, these are all good deeds or good acts that the Lord is talking about. That's why they're going to be able to inherit the kingdom or enter into the millennium. Then shall the righteous answer them, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, or unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Now, that's a reference to the Jew, the Jews during the tribulation. And he says, ye have done it unto me. All these things. These nations that Jesus mentioned, you know, feeding and clothing and visiting in prison and giving drink, were to the Jews. How these nations acted towards the Jews and helping the Jews. And we go on in verse 41. Now he's going to deal with those on his left hand, the goat nations. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a hunger or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, context, the Jew, in the tribulation, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, from previous lessons, we know the context of Matthew 24 deals with the Great Tribulation. For example, in Matthew 24:15, we see Jesus talks about the Antichrist being in the holy place. Then in Matthew 24, verse 16, the Jews are escaping to the mountains. And in Matthew 24:21, we see that after this shall be great tribulation, then Jesus talks about the events that will happen during and after the tribulation. So Matthew 25, the context is after the tribulation is over with. And we just read in verse 31 of Matthew 25, the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, shall come in his glory. This never happened before. You see, Jesus was not glorified at his first coming. Remember, Jesus was crucified at his first coming. You see, he came the first time as a lamb, and he will come the second time as a lion, and he will rule and reign and be glorified. And in Matthew 25, verse 31, you see, the first time Jesus came, he never was never set upon the throne of his glory. And the verse is not talking about a heavenly throne, but an earthly throne. Amen? In fact, it's talking about David's throne, which was promised. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 1 for a moment. Luke chapter 1 with me. In Luke chapter 1, in verses 31 to 33, we read this. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And of course, here's the angel speaking to Mary. In verse 32, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And of course, this is a throne promised. The angel's talking to Mary, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, before he's born, and telling her that that child inside you is going to have a throne. And that throne is going to be the throne of David forever. Amen. So this is the throne that he's going to be sitting upon here at the second coming. You see, this is the throne of David that was promised to David, that his seed, an heir, would sit upon the throne and would be and would have an everlasting kingdom. See? Let's go to 2 Samuel for that promise to David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 12. We read all the way down to verse 17. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Here it is now. Verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And then, of course, let's turn to the prophet Isaiah. And we often read this during the Christmas season. Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Another thing, as we look at the judgment of the nations, it's not the great white throne judgment. There are differences between the great white throne judgment and the judgment of the nations. First of all, there is no resurrection here in the judgment of the nations. There is a resurrection just before the great white throne judgment, before the end of time. The living nations will be judged at the judgment of nations. At the great white throne judgment is where the unsaved dead will be judged. There are no books opened at the judgment of the nations, but books will be opened at the great white throne judgment. And we will be studying the great white throne judgment in this series, Things to Come, and in a later study. There are those who will make Matthew 25 the judgment of the nations, and Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment, the same judgment. But Matthew 25, verse 31, if you study Matthew 25, the sheep nations, who are mentioned in verses 33 to 40, are nations who have taken care of the Jews and the nation of Israel during the great tribulation, when the Antichrist was trying literally to obliterate them. So the sheep nations will enter into the millennial kingdom. Right now, you can see worldwide the animosity toward the nation of Israel. In fact, more and more nations are turning against the nation of Israel. And that's the way God wants it to be. So, during the tribulation, very few nations will help the Jew. Do you realize during World War II in Europe, there were very few who would help a Jew to escape Nazism in the furnaces of Auschwitz and Buchenwald? But there were a few, thank God. The same thing during the tribulation. There will be some nations who will run the risk and take the chance to help that Jew out, and God will bless that nation. Remember, didn't God say back in Genesis chapter 12 to Abraham, I will bless those who will bless thee and curse them who will curse thee. Well, it looks like in the tribulation, if you stand for the Jew, you will get wiped out. But God will preserve some of those nations that help the Jew. And God will judge them at the judgment of nations. And Matthew 25, verse 34, Jesus talking to the sheep nations when he says, ye blessed. Those who bless Israel during the tribulation will be blessed, meaning inherit the kingdom, be able to enter into the millennial kingdom, the kingdom of literal, physical kingdom of heaven on this earth that Jesus will set up at his second coming. This will not occur in this age, but after tribulation, just before the millennium. Now look at the goat nations. They did not care of the Jews. They didn't take care of the Jews. They did not visit them in prison. They did not give them water and food and give them clothes. They're on the left hand. They're put on the left hand in Matthew 25, 41, and they're called the goat nations. And God says to them, ye cursed. What's interesting, God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless thee and curse them who curse thee. God brings it to pass, the promise here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, right here in the tribulation on the nations. At the beginning of the millennium, those kingdoms, those nations who help the Jew during the tribulation will go into the kingdom. Those nations who helped the Antichrist, hunted down the Jew, were against the Jew, did not help them or didn't do anything, were neutral at best. Amen. You know, they didn't help the Antichrist, but they just stood idly by as the Jews were persecuted. Those nations will be cursed and thrown into everlasting fire. We just read it in Matthew 25. Then after this judgment is over, we go into the millennial kingdom. So this judgment of the nations, marks or makes the division between the tribulation dispensation and the millennial dispensation. So that concludes our portion of our study on things to come on the second coming. And we're just about out of time. So next time we're together on the pastor study, we'll begin to look at the millennial, or the millennium, the literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. Well, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor study today. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.